The following is intended solely for the use of those with a sense of adventure.
I'm shaking the dust of this town off my feet, and I'm going to see the world.
This is Travel with Hawkeye. Here's your host, Mark Hawkeye Lewis.
I am so excited about today's podcast. And before I tell you who's going to be on it, you probably already figured out because you looked into the menu of the podcast. It's right there written, so why wouldn't you know? I want to ask you to remember to follow our podcast. So every week when a new one comes up, it just pops up right into your little podcast browser there on your iPhone or however you get your podcast. So if you just go to iTunes or wherever, Google Play or whatever you do, just press follow if you would, please. And then each week, a little surprise in your little podcast folder. So don't forget to follow us. Also, I'm going to ask you if you have the opportunity to follow us also on social media, Hawkeye on Air, at Hawkeye on Air. I'm on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And especially want to point out on Instagram stories in a couple weeks, our show is headed to Rome. And I'll be doing some Instagram stories for Rome. I'll also have stuff on Facebook and on Twitter, but I'm going to do a lot of stuff on Instagram stories. So make sure you follow us on Instagram at Hawkeye on Air. All right. On our show today, as you probably know, like I said, because you read it there in the browser when you brought up the podcast, is Ian Ziering from Sharknado. We're going to talk to him in a few minutes. Sharknado 5 is out, and he was on a press tour for Sharknado, so I got a chance to book him. But one of the reasons I want him on the travel podcast is because he's got a company out that he started called CelebrityHideaways.com. And this is an interesting company because it's not just some guy put his name on it. It's his company. He actually started it, and it kind of goes after the high-end traveler. So I thought that was kind of interesting because you don't see a lot of celebrities who actually sit down and do all the work and start their own companies. And he did that called CelebrityHideaways.com. He actually started a clothing line also. But so we're going to talk to him about CelebrityHideaways.com and how that goes after the higher-end travel, what that's all about. And we'll talk a little bit about Sharknado because I've always wondered, really, when someone brings you the scripts as ridiculous as Sharknado, first of all, you can't have thought that it was going to go anywhere. I mean, it became a cultural phenomenon, but that couldn't have been your motivation behind it. So I kind of wonder, really, what was his motivation for signing on to Sharknado in the first place? Before we get to Ian, we also have David Yeskel on. He is the Vegas guru, and he's probably the most prolific travel writer when it comes to Las Vegas. And I've had him on the radio show before, and he always knows what's new and hot in Las Vegas, so I wanted to have him on. But before we bring him on, I got to come clean here. I'm not really a Vegas guy, okay? I've been to Las Vegas like one time in my life. I used to joke that I was like the only guy who has been to Havana and hasn't been to Las Vegas, which was true. For the longest time, I had literally been to Havana back in 2001 for a trip out there that was sanctioned by the State Department, by the way. I do have my paperwork still. But I'd never been to Las Vegas. And I went to Las Vegas a few years ago for the Academy Country Music Awards. If you know a little bit about my background, I host a country music show in Dallas. So I got a chance to go out there for the Academy Country Music Awards. And people always tell me, you don't want to go to Las Vegas for more than 3 days in a row because it will fry your brain. So we were there for Las Vegas, and I saw exactly what they meant because it's just nonstop. You just can't get away from it. There's no downtime. But it was kind of odd because my wife went with me, and my wife spent almost the entire time in the room reading a book. It was a pretty good book, but she is more on Vegas than I am. And like, let's go down to the pool or something. Like, no, I just want to read up here in the room and stuff. So I spent a lot of time just walking around the streets of Las Vegas, seeing some of the sights and going to the different casinos, checking that out. Just, you know, checking out the fountains of Bellagio and the Paris and the roller coaster at New York. Woo, went on the roller coaster in Vegas. I'm Mr. Vegas. But the night of the Academy of Country Music Awards, we enjoyed the show, went to that, and went to a little after party. And my wife was wanted to go back to the room. She was just kind of worn out from the show and everything. So I was there with one of my both my co-hosts, Terry Dorsey and Rebecca Carroll. If you listen to our show, you know Rebecca and Terry. Well, Rebecca went back to the room too. So me and Mike, I think we went down and had one last drink or something. We're headed back to the room. We get in the elevator, and the door opens. We pop in. We didn't realize it was a special elevator. And there was like a doorman type person, an elevator operator. He goes, "Are you going up to Reba's party?" "Why, yes, we are." Like, come on in. So I guess he must have recognized. I think we had some type of ACM name tags or something because we had special seatings because we're in radio. So next thing you know, me and Mike, Rebecca's husband, are going up the elevator. We're looking at each other like, I guess we're going to Reba's party. And we go up to like the top level of the MGM Grand. And let me tell you, Reba's room was not like my room. Reba's room was really more like an apartment. It was a suite. That's where the high roll. I mean, that's where, like, where the high rollers or the whales would stay. Not that Reba was a whale, but she definitely had the funds to be able to stay up there. And so we're like, I guess we're at Reba's party. And like 5 minutes later, here comes Reba. Hey, how y'all doing? Y'all having a good time tonight? And like, yeah, Reba, yeah, we're having a great time. You know, like, well, good deal. And we introduce ourselves and everything. And, you know, there, I mean, there were so many people there. She didn't know who was there, who was supposed to be there. There were industry people, and she didn't recognize them all. But anyway, just, hey, you know, that's just, you know, my one time in Vegas. So the moral of the story is, if an elevator opens and someone says, are you going to Reba's party? Say yes, because you're going to get to go up there and have a great time and drink for free. So that's my Vegas story. Guy who has probably a million Vegas stories, David Yeskel, known as the Vegas Guru. You can find him online on Twitter, at the Vegas Guru. And David, were you in town this past weekend for the big Mayweather fight?
No, unfortunately, I was back already. It gets a little crazy there on fight weekends, as you might imagine. But I was there just a couple of weeks before the fight. I spent a total of 8 nights in Vegas over a couple of weeks. So I'm all caught up on what's new there. You know, as you know, Vegas is constantly evolving. It's this rapidly changing destination. And I've got to go often to keep up for all my stories.
Okay, first of all, I would not recommend, correct me if I'm wrong, but man, that's a lot of time to spend in Vegas 8 days in a row. Because everybody always tells me, don't spend more than 3 nights there.
That is. So I'd say, you know, you kids don't try this at home, but a professional can do it. And no, so I'm writing about Las Vegas for Travel Weekly and some other publications. So I need to really keep up on what's going on in the city. And I had to spend a lot of concentrated time there. So I broke it up over a couple of weeks, but it was great.
Okay. Well, let's talk about, first of all, before we get to all the stuff that's going on, I want to talk about something that's going on in a couple years down the road, and that'd be NFL football. Is there a buzz in Vegas about NFL football?
Yeah, there's a big buzz in Vegas. You know, for years, the city kind of was avoiding NFL football just because of the ramifications of gambling and, you know, the possibility of fixing games. So there's a big buzz in the city. They're very excited about it. They've got a new hockey team that's, you know, starting up soon. So all of a sudden, professional sports are going to be very big in Vegas.
Yeah, let me ask you, how do you think that's going to work from your observations? And you've been there a lot. Do you think the hockey team and the football team, are they going to draw from people like out of state, do you think, for these games? Or do you think, I mean, can Vegas, you know, is there enough people that live in Vegas to support those two teams? Or how is that all going to work?
Yeah, I think they will draw from outside, Mark, because Vegas is a relatively small market, you know, in terms of city size. So, but they're very hungry for professional sports. I think they're going to draw very well, and they will draw people, certainly a lot of people from L.A., since it's a frequent L.A. visitor destination. So I think they're going to draw from outside, but there's a lot of excitement in town, and I think it's going to play like a bigger city, actually, with the professional sports teams.
Yeah, I see the football team doing very, very well there because kind of the Raiders are, you know, I've read that they're kind of the official team of California. Las Vegas still kind of owns, you know, feels like they kind of own the Raiders, so
right,
to speak.
Right.
So, and it's not that far to go for a game. So I see them. I'm just wondering if there's enough people there now that the Raiders are coming, if that's going to, you know, be, you know, suck a lot of these season ticket holders who would have bought NHL tickets away from the Golden Knights.
Yeah, I think they're going to be able to support both, actually. I really hope they are, but the initial indications are. There's a lot of excitement and a lot of buy-in.
All right, so we got that there. But what else is, like, in the immediate future, what is new in Vegas for the fall and for the early winter?
Yeah, so there's a lot new in Vegas. So I stayed at Planet Hollywood Hotel and Resorts because they had just upgraded all 2,500 of their rooms and suites, just completely refreshed. And the design, they're calling it ultra hip. So it's this really modern look with pops of bright colors, edgy artwork on the walls, and a much more luxurious feel than it previously had. You know, all at a nightly price starting at about $100.
Wow.
And that includes resort fees. So I've seen it as low as $100, including resort fees. So I think that's a great value for a property center of the Strip. It's got this really hip feel, too. You know, the Britney Spears and J-Lo have residencies there. There's this pleasure pit in the casino. So this one casino pit, they have exotic dancers performing on these small stages above the tables. So it's a real fun, cool place. They're aiming for a younger demographic, and they're getting it. So the property was just completely refreshed, and it's got a brand new feel, actually. And I think it's a great value at the center of the Strip.
Yeah, that does sound like a lot of fun there. All right, what else? What else is new?
Well, so there's a new show that just opened at Paris Las Vegas called Circus 1903. It's this nostalgic throwback to an early 20th century circus, just with modern production values. It's a family-friendly show, so people can take their kids. And the ringmaster is this kind of whip-smart and witty guy who introduces these acts that are just amazing. There's this woman who's called a dislocationist, and the stuff she does with her body, just people won't believe it. And, you know, even for jaded Vegas visitors who've seen it all, it's something new and something very fresh. And it's a very different type of circus show that is unique for Vegas, and I think it's going to be a big hit.
Are there animals in the show? Because I know that's a big sticking point for a lot of people nowadays. That's why the Ringling Brothers kind of finally went out of favor with the animals.
Right. So I'm glad you asked about that. So they use these life-size elephant puppets that are incredible. They have a few people inside the elephant, and the movements are so realistic and so beautiful that you'd swear that these were real elephants. So it's really creative, very inventive. They obviously, you know, aren't going to use live animals anymore. And it's a great show all around. And the tickets starting at about $49. Sometimes you could find them even discounted a little more. But it's a great new hot show, just opened at the beginning of August at Paris.
Okay. You know, it's kind of interesting because the best part of the Lion King to me is the first 5 minutes when all the animals, the puppets, come out. So I could see this all of a sudden it sounded kind of interesting, but now when you see the life-size elephant puppet, now I want to see that.
Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool. It's a great show, and it's really family appropriate, so everybody can go.
All right. What else we got going on in Vegas?
So I got one of my best-kept secrets I want to tell you about. A great place to stay, also for families, it's called The Signature at MGM Grand. So, as you know, Vegas is the master at reinvention. And in the 90s, there was a theme park behind the MGM Grand. It never really worked, so they took it out. There's some other stuff there. But they built these three condo towers that were primarily sold as condos, but there's a lot of units that are rented as hotel rooms during the week, especially, and on weekends. And it's this condotel style, completely residential units, full kitchens, gated access, and you're in this kind of serene world right behind the MGM Grand, connected to the hotel via this interior air-conditioned walkway. So you can get to the center of the action in 7 or 8 minutes into the MGM Grand Hotel, and then just walk back, and you're in this residential environment, big units with kitchens, pools. It's a great kind of find, and I think a lot of people don't realize and know what it is. You know, you look at it, it looks like, oh, those look like condo towers, but they're actually sold as hotel rooms nightly, and it's really a best-kept secret in Vegas. A lot of people don't know about it. Rates maybe starting at about $150 midweek. They're all non-smoking, by the way, and I think it's a great value and really big, comfortable units.
Let me ask you about something and to see if this has changed the Vegas landscape somewhat. About a year ago, they opened the T-Mobile Arena, and Vegas never really had a large arena. They had the MGM Arena, which is part of the MGM Grand, mm-hmm. but it wasn't really – I've been to events there. It was cramped. It was hard to get into.
Yeah.
And it wasn't really a really arena. Now that they've got this arena, the fights have moved there. George Strait has done a bunch of shows there. Has mm-hmm. that somewhat changed the landscape for some types of shows that probably wouldn't come to Vegas before?
Yeah, absolutely. It's another big venue, you know, not only for, for visiting sporting events, but for residencies. So they're booking Bruno Mars, I think, in there. It's another, aside from, you know, the Coliseum at Caesars, which was the big venue for residencies typically.
Uh-huh.
This is another venue like that. It's big. So, of course, the fight was there last weekend. I think Vegas needed this. You're right. MGM Grand Arena wasn't always the best spot. This is a new great option, and it's allowing them to bring bigger acts into Vegas and more of them than ever before.
I wasn't aware of the Bruno Mars residency. What does that all entail? How often is he going to be there?
You know, he's not going to be there for that many shows. I think he was there over New Year's Eve for a few nights, over New Year's Eve last year. I think they're trying to book him again. I don't have the dates, though, or another particulars, but I've heard there's something in the works to try to get him back. I just don't know if it's set yet.
Okay, and the last thing I wanted to ask, this is just pure curiosity, because America's Got Talent, when you win that, you're supposed to get like a shot at Vegas and so forth. And the very first guy who won, Terry Fader, he's actually done very, very well in Vegas. Is that not correct?
Yeah, he's done very well in Vegas. He's got a show at the Mirage, you know, with all his characters, and he's very popular. He's been there for a few years now in the main showroom. So he's got the big showroom. He's got a great show. It's very funny, all his characters. Yeah, it's a little bit, I would say, for people with kids, you know, maybe kids, 12 and above, it's appropriate for. But he's got a very, very great show, and he's been a big success there. So he's an example of somebody coming from America's Got Talent who's really made it.
Okay.
But there's another show at the Mirage I just want to mention briefly, and that is the Cirque du Soleil's The Beatles Love. So people may have seen this in previous years. It's Cirque's beautiful tribute to the Beatles. And the show was completely redone last year. There are new acts, new lighting, new costumes. It's like a completely new show. I think it was great before. Now it's over the top. I really think it's one of Cirque's best shows in Vegas, and it's just one of their most beautiful shows, lyrically and visually. It's just gorgeous, and I was really surprised by how much they've done to it.
Cool. All right. Before I let you go, I want you to give how people can find out more about what you write and what you talk about here. Your website, once again, is thevegas.guru. Is that correct?
Thevegas.guru. That's correct. And they can follow me on Twitter at thevegasguru. So every day I tweet out tips, things, good, great deals in Vegas, things like this. I talked about at the Signature. I write about food a lot, so I have pictures of a lot of the best dishes in Vegas and where to get them. Some great new restaurants just opened. So, best place for up-to-date data is my Twitter feed. I'm the Vegas Guru.
All right. Place to go before you head out to Vegas, especially if you're looking for good places to dine.
Yeah.
All right. David, really appreciate your time. The Vegas Guru on Twitter. Follow him. Thanks, David.
Thanks, Mark.
All right, shifting gears, I got a chance. This is kind of one of those things that just fell into my lap. Like, would you like to interview Ian Ziering from Sharknado in Beverly Hills 90210? Would I? Yes, of course. But I also know he's got another venture also in the travel world. So joining us on the podcast is Ian Ziering. And I got to ask you, when they offered you the script for the first Sharknado movie, did you think that this was going to be such a huge cultural phenomena?
No. That script was horrible. So many holes in it that would have to be filled by visual effects, and visual effects are very expensive.
Uh-huh.
Knowing this was going to be done on a micro budget, I thought I'd be working with Sleestak or, you know, Sigmund and the Sea Monster or Sid and Marty Krupp level effects. I didn't think it was going to be James Cameron whatsoever.
But
I really only did it to get my health insurance. I get my health insurance from SAG-AFTRA, and you have to make so much every year to get that top-tier insurance. And knowing that I was going to have a baby 4 months from when that offer came around, I had to do what I had to do. I felt like I was taking one for the team.
That is hilarious, and that is so honest that you tell us exactly why you did that. But then all of a sudden, it comes out, Sharknado 1 comes out. I mean, instantly, everybody was talking about it the next day. So what did you think? What did you think the day before it was going to air, and what did you think the day after it aired?
The day before it was going to air, I was hoping that I was confident no one's going to see this movie.
Uh-huh.
When I first signed on to the movie, I didn't know that it was going to be on sci-fi. I didn't know it was going to be a sci-fi original film. I just thought it was going to be straight to DVD.
Okay.
Which helped me over that hump of accepting the movie to begin with. When I heard it was going to be on sci-fi, I was like, oh, okay. You know, maybe it won't be too bad. I always hope for the best.
Yeah.
You know, I gave it my all, hope for the best. And then it aired. And because the sci-fi fans literally are the most supportive fans in all of entertainment, and they're all connected now on social media, Twitter blew up. People were texting and tweeting and Instagramming and Facebooking, and there were over 5,000 tweets a minute. In Sharknado 2, Ian Ziering, Steve Sanders, and Finn Shepard were all part of the top 10 trending things on Twitter in the United States. And by the way, Sharknado-related things occupied the top 10 spots.
Yeah, it was incredible. And I actually think, correct me if I'm wrong, but after like Sharknado, the first one aired, I think like Sci-Fi showed it a couple days later, and so many people heard about it and didn't see it. I think the viewing of the second one, the second viewing of Sharknado 1 was even greater than the premiere.
Yeah, the ratings went up. That's another anomaly, because typically ratings go down.
Yeah.
Something airs. But ratings continued to go up. And, you know, you've got your overnight ratings, and then you have your three-day ratings now with all the on-demand and all the other ways to watch things. And then you have your seven-day ratings. Those continued to go up.
It was incredible. And everybody just accepts the campiness of it now, and it's almost like you can't do anything wrong. That's the fun of, and now we're on Sharknado 5, Global Swarming. You just can't do anything wrong.
No, you know what? What we maintain is a level of seriousness within the context of a movie that allows us to play in this absurd would-be reality.
Yeah.
You know, if it was truly campy like Rocky Horror Picture Show is campy, then nobody would really get behind it. But because we maintain the integrity and keep the sails tight, you know, there's no time, no one's winking at the camera, no one's in front of the camera laughing with the audience. We're not in on the joke. It's its own genre, really. It's the fun movie where everyone's in on the joke except the people in the movie.
Yeah, definitely. All right. I asked you here because I wanted to talk about Sharknado, but also want to talk about something else that you're involved with called CelebrityHideaways.com. And it sounds like a great thing for travelers who want to experience something on the higher end. Am I correct in assuming that?
Yeah. Celebrity Hideaways is for the discerning traveler who's looking for those rare, unique travel destinations that are typically reserved for celebrities or people of profile. You know, so much online is all about bargain basement, lowest price, but that's not really catering to the people that can afford what they want.
Yeah.
You know, so there's such a curiosity as to where all the celebrities around the world are vacationing after being deluged one day on the news and on every press outlet where Orlando Bloom was, or Beyonce, or Johnny Depp. It's like, wait a second. Why don't I use all those skills I learned from Celebrity Apprentice and be a project manager for myself? And I started Celebrity Hideaways to do that. And we built this magnificent website where people can go and, you know, whether you're an aspirational traveler or you're someone who is well-funded, you know, who want these experiences, well, this is where you can find them. Because access to knowing where these places are was one of the things that people don't have. I don't want to wait till it's on the news to find out where, you know, Jay-Z is hanging out or Kim Kardashian is, you know. This is where Celebrity Hideaways fills that niche.
And it's kind of interesting. I mean, this isn't someone came to you, hey, can you put your name on it? This is something you actually started.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Like I said, after I did Celebrity Apprentice, I realized that there was a skill set that I possessed that I never really knew about. I'm capable of being driven to accomplish certain tasks. And being resourceful and creative are all attributes that are important in being successful in that way. So when I decided to do it for myself, that's when I started Celebrity Hideaways. That's when I started Chainsaw Brands Clothing. You know, all things that I'm passionate about.
Hey, before I let you go, and I have a limited time with you, before I let you go, I wanted to ask, where's the one place in the world that Ian Ziering has been to that he would recommend to others, or, you know, like your favorite place to travel to, or a place you really want to go to you haven't been to yet?
Favorite place is London. That's the most incredible town, I think, in the world. It's the only town that I feel like I could live in. It is so culturally diverse. It's a foodie town. It's an architectural town. It's a historical town. It's amazing. The Jumeirah House Suites would be my go-to destination if you're looking for some privacy. That is an unbelievable residence there, right off Hyde Park. Love that place. Place that I would like to go to, I'd like to climb, you know, Kilimanjaro one day.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to, you know, go to the North Pole. I'd like to see, I think it's in Iceland, where all the seeds of the world are stored. I'd like to go there. and I'd like to bring my family with me.
Wow, very cool. Very, very varied experiences that you have chosen here. I really like that a lot, especially from Kilimanjaro to Iceland. That's pretty cool. I love that you like appreciate all different aspects of adventure and travel.
Oh, yeah, man.
Definitely. All right, Ian, appreciate the time this morning. I know we had a limited time. Appreciate you giving us a call. And continued success with Sharknado. And is Sharknado 6 on the books?
Well, here's to hoping.
All right, Ian, appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Take care, guys. Okay. Thanks for having me on.
That is Ian Ziering, and catch him on a Sharknado movie with you. By the way, I just won $5 from my producer because he bet me $5 that I couldn't go through the whole interview without calling him Ian instead of Ian, how it's pronounced. So Ian Ziering, and check out his website, celebrityhideaways.com. Special thanks also to David Yesko, the Vegas guru. You can find him at thevegas.guru or on his Twitter account at thevegasguru on Twitter. So check him out there. And check us out at travelwithhawkeye.net. You can find our links to all our social media accounts, and you can follow us there and subscribe to our podcast also. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis. Thanks for making our podcast part of your experience. Remember, the world is out there. Your adventure awaits. I'm Mark Hawkeye Lewis, and this is the Travel with Hawkeye podcast.